Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Life is pretty sweet for the Arizona men's basketball team. The Arizona Wildcats are going to the Sweet 16 after beating Dayton. We'll have a look at what's next for the Wildcats. Plus, we'll look back at the round of 32 game for the Wildcats men's basketball team. And then we'll also talk about the women's basketball team and their first round matchup against Syracuse in Connecticut later on with our colleague PJ Brown. I'm Justin Spears. That guy's Michael Lev. You can find all of our coverage of March Madness, NCAA tournament, spring football coming up here in this upcoming week. Lots of things happening on the Arizona Wildcats front. So for all your coverage regarding U of A sports, please go to Tucson.com, subscribe today. Also download the Wildcaster mobile app for free. Everything you need to know regarding U of A is all right there at your fingertips. So download the Wildcaster app today. And as always, subscribe, rate, and comment the Wildcast podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and other podcasting platforms. Lev, we are at the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. Lots of madness this time of year, but man, that like opening weekend.
It's going on right now as we speak.
Still.
We thought the Texas A&M Houston game would be over. It is not. It's currently in overtime after Texas A&M hit a tying three at the buzzer. Look, I will admit, I don't watch nearly as much college basketball as I used to when I was young. Like, I used to watch everything. It was probably my favorite sport when I was a kid. Things have kind of shifted more in the football direction. You know, as I got older, I don't have as much time on my hands as I used to. But man, there is nothing like the drama of the NCAA tournament.
Nope.
There's nothing like it. It's just that single elimination format it's something else. And
yeah.
Like, these teams come out of nowhere. Like, Yale beating Auburn, for example. I mean, utterly ridiculous for something like that to happen. But it happened.
And it was expected to happen.
It keeps happening every year.
Yeah, but this year, it was really expected to happen with a parity that we've seen throughout the college basketball season. I mean, from start to finish, this has been one heck of a season. We've seen a lot of upsets. As we all know, it's really tough to win a conference road game. And that wasn't just Arizona's problem. That was a problem that was all across college basketball. But I think, man, a lot of great storylines. Of course, you got Jack Golkey from Oakland leading them to an upset victory. And Mr. Golkey has landed a bunch of NIL deals. I was on Instagram going into this podcast, and I saw him doing an endorsement deal with Buffalo Wild Wings. So that's like the cool thing that comes with March Madness is that you're so popular. And just that 15 minutes of fame that companies are willing to work with you to endorse their product now.
It's
so cool.
Yeah, I have seen more commercials with college athletes the last couple weeks than I can ever remember. Obviously, the rules are totally different now. They can participate in these NIL deals while they're in school. I've seen Caitlin Clark. I've seen Cameron Brink. Have you seen her in that New Balance commercial? All those NBA players. Juju Watkins, saw her in a commercial. It was a haircut or something. With a guy who had that kind of bun on top of his head.
Oh, Joel Embiid.
Oh, was that Joel Embiid?
Yeah, Joel Embiid.
Nice. Okay. Nice. All right. Well, so it's very cool.
It's awesome.
Stars are born. And one of the cool things, we'll talk about women's basketball in a little bit here. But one of the cool things about women's basketball is that the players stay for 4 years, like in the old days. So you kind of you get to know them, and they don't just leave after 1 year or 2 years, right? Like and go on to bigger and better things. Like, they become household names while they're in college, and we're seeing that a little bit more on the men's side with NIL. And you saw it a lot in football too. Like some guys who we thought were going to go pro, they ended up coming back because they're not guaranteed to be first round picks. You know, like Bo Nix, for example, or Michael Penix, like many years ago, those guys might not have been in school for this last year, their 50 or 60 or whatever it was, but they had an opportunity. They came back and they did great things. We're seeing that all across the college basketball landscape, especially here in the month of March.
Jack Golke raking in a bunch of NIL money for leading Oakland to a first round win. I also just, thought about Drew Timmy coming back to Gonzaga rather than turning pro and raking in a bunch, six figures when he was with the Bulldogs. Real quick, before we turn the page and go to Arizona versus Dayton, last real quick thing. My favorite NCAA tournament storyline is Yale's band is actually Idaho's band. They just wore Yale shirts. Did you hear about this, Lev?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Yale's band did not make it out to the NCAA tournament. So the University of Idaho, they all put on Yale shirts and posed as Yale's band in the tournament.
That's in Spokane?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, that makes sense. That's about an hour and a half drive.
Yeah,
up the road there.
I think it's cool.
Very nice. What a nice gesture.
You would love to see Yale's band be there, but I'm sure the University of Idaho students love that.
Not to get too far onto a tangent here, but I mean, one of the things I don't like, and many people don't like, about this sort of professionalization, homogenization of college sports is you lose those types of things, right? The things that make college sports, like the band, whether it's your own band or you're borrowing a band from somebody else. And no one wants to lose that, Who are the people making these decisions where we're kind of getting away from what has made college sports so special and so fun and so meaningful for so many people? I don't know.
Yep.
Like I said, that's a tangent. That's a topic for another time.
All right. Let's talk about what happened this past weekend. Arizona is back in the Sweet 16 for the first time since Tommy Lloyd's first season, when he first took over as head coach in Arizona, led by Benedict Mathurin and Dalen Terry and Christian Coloco, and all those guys were able to get to the Sweet 16. So this isn't unfamiliar territory for Arizona, and not just in the Tommy Lloyd era, but they've been there many times under Sean Miller, also Lute Olson. Arizona, really the standard is always to get to the Final Four. That's where the program is at right now. It's never easy getting to the Final Four, but that's where the standard is set. Now Arizona, they're facing an interesting Sweet 16 matchup against Clemson, but Dayton made them work for it a little bit. Arizona got off to a pretty good start, but then Dayton, it led by Daron Holmes, who I think is an NBA player and will find his way onto an NBA roster. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. But they were able to really fight their way back into the game. And Arizona, sloppy play, turning over the basketball, allowed Dayton to get back in. And this is why so many people who've been following Arizona basketball all season long are a little worried about this team contending for a championship, because just a little too much inconsistency, a little too hot and cold. I mean, for a little while there, Lev, Keshaw Johnson playing like an Energizer Bunny, playing all over the place, dunking on people, getting rebounds, playing great defense. Umar Ballo playing an absolute force. Caleb Love knocking down shots, looking like the Pac-12 player of the year. Like for that stretch where Arizona took a commanding lead, my goodness, there was not a team in the NCAA tournament that could contend with Arizona. And then the end of the first half, it was like Pac-12 tournament all over again. And if they do that moving forward, they're going to trip up and end up losing.
Except that it wasn't quite like the Pac-12 tournament all over again, right? I think it was Keyshawn Johnson who said that was kind of like that Oregon game, right? Where they had a seemingly comfortable lead in the first half. Oregon came at them and they kind of wilted. They just kind of fell apart. Dayton made their run and Arizona showed that it can withstand a run like that. It can be that the Wildcats can be tough, when the tough gets going. I was really impressed with the fact that they didn't buckle in those critical moments. And I thought that having seniors who've been there and done that really helped. Keyshawn Johnson, super clutch. In the second half, not really known necessarily for his offense, but hit a key three-pointer coming right out of the first possession of the second half. He had that nice reverse dunk going down the baseline. I know Pella Larsen didn't have a ton of points, but I think he had six assists and seven rebounds in that game. It's like a nice, you know, stat line all across the board. And then, of course, I thought the biggest factor in the game was the bench. Jaden Bradley and KJ Lewis were just outstanding, especially on the defensive end. They combined, well, Jaden Bradley had three steals and three blocks, and KJ Lewis had either two steals and a block or two blocks and a steal. Whatever the case, it was nine total stocks, as we call them, between the two of them. And they were like helping out in the post, right? Like there were times even when KJ Lewis was guarding Deron Holmes. KJ Lewis is 6'4", Deron Holmes is 6'10". He's bodying him up down there. They throw the ball in. Those guys would come in, get a hand in, yank the ball out, knock it away. And Jaden was really good on the offensive end too, like super efficient, getting to the line six times as he does. So it was kind of like it was the young guys and the old guys who both stepped up big time for the Wildcats to propel them past a Dayton team that had, you know, there were some aspects to that team that were difficult from a matchup standpoint. One is Deron Holmes, whom we've mentioned, their best player, who's, I compared him to Pascal Siakam.
Great comparison.
And a slick, slithery, like not a traditional post player. So that's a tough matchup for Umar Ballo, right? And Tommy Lloyd recognized that. And he went to that small ball lineup with Keyshawn Johnson playing the five. I thought that was a brilliant move. And then they're also a really good three-point shooting team. They were one of three teams in the nation shooting better than 40% from beyond the arc heading into that game. And Arizona did a really good job of defending the line, defending the three-point line, which had been a problem for them at various points throughout the season.
Yep. And here's your game, Lev. You brought up the bench. Bench points comparison, 23 for Arizona, 2 for Dayton. So that right there is your game. Arizona's bench came to play, and they made a lot of hustle plays. Like there was, you know, one ball that was about to go out of bounds, and Jaden Bradley was able to, underneath the basket, figure out a way to keep it in play and put it in the hands of one of his teammates. Like, these are winning plays that are going to get Arizona over the hump and into the Final Four. And someone made a great comparison. Maybe it's because he wears long socks or those leggings, but he plays a lot like Jason Terry did for those late 90s Arizona teams, coming off the bench as the sixth man. The way they play defensively, coming off the bench, really being like, a guy that's coming off the bench, but a guy you trust really more than anyone in end-of-game situations. That's the kind of guy that Jaden Bradley is. And it's very critical to have a guy like him being rock solid coming off the bench, because we talk about Arizona kind of being Jekyll and Hyde. Kylan Boswell, I mean, after having a career-high 20 points, had an okay game. So I think having Jaden Bradley being able to kind of take over for Kylan Boswell and his struggles, I think that's very important for Arizona.
You talked about the hustle plays. I didn't mention these in my five takeaways, even though I wrote pretty extensively about Jaden Bradley and KJ Lewis. There was one time that Deron Holmes was driving down the left side of the lane. It was either against Baller or Keyshawn, and the ball got knocked out of bounds off of Deron Holmes' leg. And the replay from the baseline angle showed that it was Jaden Bradley who stuck his hand in there and knocked the ball off of his leg. And then there was another time down at the other end of the court, a Dayton player was shooting what seemed like a wide open three, except KJ Lewis came from behind and blocked that shot.
Yeah.
Now, those are those little hustle plays, those defensive plays that are real difference makers. Tommy Lloyd has said from the beginning that KJ Lewis is a player who can affect the game just with his hustle and energy, period. Yeah. You know, just because he plays so hard. Yeah. And I always love it when talented guys play really hard. I mean, that was a Kobe thing, right? Like, when your best players are also your hardest workers, that's a really good formula for success. I'm not saying KJ Lewis is Arizona's best player, but he might have the most NBA upside of anyone on the current roster, you know?
Yeah.
So they're onto the Sweet 16, and I think we all kind of figured they would face Baylor in what would have been a kind of a Big 12 preview. Except that is not the case, is it?
Clemson.
Clemson. Football school.
Yeah. Yeah, the last time Arizona played Clemson in basketball was in 2011 in the Fiesta Bowl Classic. That was a very forgettable Arizona basketball season, I should say. That was the 11-12 year where Arizona went to the NIT and lost to Bucknell in the first round at McHale Center. Kyle Fogg was a senior that season. Solomon Hill, who's going to be in Los Angeles for those games this coming week, he was also on that Arizona team. Arizona also had some very interesting freshmen, like Josiah Turner, who was a highly rated point guard, but got into some trouble off the court and left the team. And Siddiqui Johnson, who's also another highly rated forward, he got us some trouble too. That was a Sean Miller team that not a lot of people like to talk about. So but Arizona actually beat Clemson that year, and the Tigers had a guy by the name of Devin Booker, but not that guy, not the Devin Booker, another Devin Booker.
No relation.
But Arizona's got Clemson. Lev, did you watch any of that game between Clemson
and Baylor? I watched a lot of it.
I thought Baylor, I mean, they were, what, 6 for 24 from three-point range?
I mean,
they didn't shoot well.
No, credit where it's due, right? Clemson defended them well. And Baylor was one of the better offensive teams in the country this past season. I thought my biggest takeaway from watching that Clemson team was they kind of on offense reminded me a little bit of Arizona, just in terms of they run a lot of like set plays and they execute those plays really well. You know, a lot of what I call actions, you know, like pick and roll. And if it doesn't work, work the ball around, try it again, try a different look. So Arizona's going to have to execute on defense, you know, to counteract that. One of the things that I liked about that small ball lineup is everybody can switch, right? That is a switchable lineup with Keyshawn, Pella, Caleb, Jaden, and KJ.
Yeah.
Anybody can guard anybody as long as you don't have a Zach Edey type of guy on the other team, right? PJ Hall is Clemson's best player. He's not Zach Edey. I mean, he's PJ Hall, 6'10", 238, average 18.7 points and 6.5 rebounds. Keyshawn Johnson can guard a guy like that. You know, yeah. Pella Larson can guard a guy like that. I think it's important that we don't assume that Arizona is just going to blow out Clemson because it's a 2-6 matchup and it's a basketball school against a football school. I think that's a bit of a dangerous game. And I'm sure that Tommy Lloyd is that he'll have his guys locked in. When Arizona has faltered this season, it seems like motivation has been a factor.
Yeah.
You know, like they lost at Stanford. Like who's taking Stanford seriously, right? Yeah. They lost at Oregon State, right? Yeah. Who's taking Oregon State seriously? Like when they, you know, that sort of like that playing up and down your competition thing. Obviously, if Clemson's gotten this far, they're legit. Arizona's, you know, knows that they're in a one and done, loser go home situation. So I'm sure they'll be locked in and they won't have any of the thoughts that some of the fans on Twitter/X seem to have, like, oh yeah, Baylor lost. This is great for Arizona. Like, okay, maybe on paper it is, but obviously they're a good team if they've gotten this far.
Arizona fans also said the same thing about the 2017 Sweet 16 when they got, 11-seeded Xavier in that matchup. Like, oh, Xavier, double-digit seed, Sean Miller's former team. Somebody called me. And then Xavier ended up beating them. So nothing is guaranteed. And I think that, yes, it does.
Assume nothing.
Arizona should be the favorites. I think the opening line is somewhere between 6.5, 7.5 points, depending on what site you look at. But Arizona's favorite to go into this game. But still, I think Clemson's a really good team. Who do you put on Chase Hunter, though? He had a really good game. He went for 20 points and also had 6 assists. You put Caleb Love or Kyle Boswell?
I mean, the good news about, and he's a bit of a bigger, he's 6'4", 200, so a bit of a bigger guard, but they have a lot of guys who can guard on the perimeter, you know? Yeah. You can put Caleb Love on him. Start, you can put Jaden Bradley on him. You can put KJ Lewis on him. That's one of the things I like about this Arizona team. They're known for their offense, but I think they're capable of being a really elite defensive team at times if they're fully engaged. And like I said, there's no reason for them to not be fully engaged. I was looking through Clemson's schedule this year, and it's a little deceiving how many games they lost. They lost by 2 points at Memphis. They lost in double overtime against Georgia Tech. They lost by 1 point at Duke, 1 point against Virginia, 1 point against NC State. Wow. That's about half their losses, like either 1 point, 2 points, or double overtime.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a little deceiving. They kind of cratered a little bit at the end of the regular season, but so did Arizona, right? Arizona lost two of its last three. Clemson lost three of its last four. But here they are. And weirdly enough, Justin, once again, the earlier game time.
Yep. 4 o'clock.
Yeah, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock hour time. Arizona's been on that. I was shocked. And when we did our last podcast, we didn't have the tip time. But I was stunned the way that they put the Salt Lake games in the early window and like the Pittsburgh games and the like, what? It was weird. I think CBS wanted to have the glamour teams, you know, in that early exclusive window.
Yeah.
So
we'll see if Arizona can get out of Los Angeles. A lot of bad NCAA tournament memories in LA for the Cats. LA/Anaheim, not the best place to play the tournament games, but let's see if Arizona can overcome their curse.
LA and Anaheim are the same thing, according to Artie Moreno.
Yes. Arizona Wildcat, right? Or Tucson native?
Yeah.
Or both?
Tucson, yeah. Not a donor, though, which that we know of, which
strange.
Is strange. Always been a mystery as to why that's the case.
But. All right. So Arizona is in the Sweet 16. They got Clemson in the Sweet 16. That is in Los Angeles Thursday at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, so, and then the other side is North Carolina and Alabama.
Should be a good one.
Which Alabama team that plays super fast, right? With everyone's friend, Nate Oates.
Yep.
Who has his own little history with Arizona in the postseason, as we know.
Buffalo.
Of course, North Carolina is a blue blood of blue bloods. They're the number one seed. That'll be a really interesting game as well. There's a lot of Southeastern teams and the West Coast Wildcats out there. The last Pac-12 team standing.
How about that? The last Pac-12 team to win a national championship is the last team standing. And on the other side of Arizona's bracket, like you mentioned, Lev, between Alabama and North Carolina, you either get a revenge game or part two game with Alabama, because you already played them earlier in the season, or you get the Caleb Love revenge game because North Carolina playing against his former team. So
storylines galore. But hey,
just don't overlook it.
Yeah, it's good. Gotta beat Clemson first.
Gotta get
through Clemson. Look ahead. Yeah.
All right. So Arizona men's basketball, they're still alive right now. Arizona women's basketball, the Wildcats season came to an end after losing to Syracuse in Storrs, Connecticut. Tough loss for Arizona, but they got an NCAA tournament victory. And considering their circumstances with the roster, lack of depth, the rotation, I think really getting an NCAA tournament victory was a pretty big accomplishment for Adia Barnes and her club. We're going to now turn the page and talk women's basketball with our colleague, PJ Brown, who is the Arizona women's basketball insider for the Star. And PJ got into a fight with a bear and kicked its butt and sent that poor bear to a hospital. He's still trying to overcome his injuries because PJ just delivered haymakers left and right. I feel bad for the bear. PJ, you're in one piece. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, it's a tough one. That, you know, Storrs, Connecticut is in the boonies. And I know that if any Connecticut people or UConn fans are listening to this, they're not going to be happy because they weren't happy at all with Arizona this week. But that's another story. They're in the sticks in the middle of nowhere. And I did have to go two towns over to go to the emergency room because of this. And it's a fact. It may have only been 20 minutes, but it was two towns over. It's not like it was, you know, right down the street in Tucson. So,
So our friend PJ, she slipped on the ice or slipped on the sidewalk, right? And did
tripped
a bit
on
of a
the
face
sidewalk.
Plant. Yeah. So who
you should
who
see my
you?
Real glasses taped up. I can't even look at that. I can't.
So can you tell us who helped you, PJ?
Oh, sure. There were a couple people who stopped when I fell, and I was a block away from the arena. And in my mind, I'm like, go to the arena because there's a team doctor there, right? Or paramedics. And I went, and there were paramedics, and they helped me, and they called the ambulance. And the drivers took me to a really nice emergency room where they helped me out. And I didn't have to wait hours, and I didn't hear people screaming in pain and all that kind of horrible stuff that you encounter in an emergency room. Then they called a cab for me. And I don't even know if they paid for it or if it's going to come on our bill. Like, I have no idea, but it was paid for. And they took me back to the arena, and I caught the last two questions. I got to ask Adia Barnes a question. I needed the scout for my game day package. And I ran in there, threw all my stuff down. My glasses were broken. I couldn't see anybody. And there was this bright light on Adia, and there was this bright light on the side. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm like going to ask a question. It was bizarre.
She look at PJ hustling to the press conference.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And then you're kind of post post hospital treatment, maybe some advice. Who gave you a little bit of
this was interesting. As soon as the press conference was over, Dr. Robert Robbins, the president of the University of Arizona, came over to me and started checking me out, former heart surgeon. And he was upset that he wasn't there because he would have stitched me up. And then he was looking and he asked me exactly what they did in the emergency room. And then he's like, oh, we need to get you ice. And he made the equipment manager get me ice. And then he's like, well, you need a towel. So he ran and got me. He did it. He got me a March Madness towel. And he goes, here's a souvenir. And then he told me how to sleep that night, we checked in the next day. Then he left on Friday morning and he called me up and said, hey, how you feeling today? I mean, he was fantastic. I told him, I said, wow, you know, as a heart surgeon, you have like this great bedside manner. And then he told me about his philosophy about how he treated people. He's like, you know, if you're going to put your hands like on somebody, take a heart out, put another heart in. He's like, they need to know like that you care and all this kind of stuff. He was going on. And it was like really enlightening. Really good guy. This is separate from whatever is going on at the university and the financial crisis. But I can tell you from my experience, he was a good guy, and I felt like I had my own personal doctor there. The other person who was very helpful was the team doctor. Everybody was. I mean, the team doctor looked at my glasses, and she ended up taping them up. And then every day she checked on me, too. So it was pretty amazing.
That's such an incredible story. I'm sorry that happened to you, PJ, of course, but we got a great story out of it.
Yeah.
Involving Dr. Robbins and the team trainer and like hospitals in the middle of nowhere, Connecticut. Like,
it was wild. And then I don't know if you heard all the whole Adia was trying to be nice, and she tweeted out something about she felt bad for me. And she mentioned that I had to go two towns over to the emergency room. And boy, all the Connecticut people were like on her, like, well, that's only like 15 minutes away or something. And they made this huge deal. And I just finally said, you know, if I was in Tucson and this would have happened at McHale Center, within 5 minutes, I would have been at Banner. So yeah. I have, you know, it was just crazy. The whole thing was crazy.
Adia was complaining more than not about the fact that their hotel was like an hour away, and just how
there was a big issue.
But anyway,
it was a big issue. Let me tell you.
So the game itself, was very close, and it was yet another instance where I feel like kind of on the like the second of a back to back, the last 5 minutes of the game, Arizona's just kind of running out of steam. Running, their legs are tired. They just aren't as sharp as they were. Seems like that happened a bunch over the course of the season because of their short roster. And once again, they had the lead and then they weren't able to hold it. What did you see in that last, 5 minutes or so?
Yeah, they had one point where they had, I think, four turnovers in a row. And that was like, they went up by 5 points, which was great. And then they had a chance to go up by 7, I believe. And Esmeri Martinez threw a home run ball to Skylar Jones, and she could not hang on to it. And that would have been an easy bucket. And then they just sort of like, it was stuff that they normally don't do from people who normally don't do that, right? Just a bunch of turnovers. And then because they had some foul trouble, most of the second half then, they were not aggressive in their defense, not playing their normal defense. They were back a little bit. So when you're back a little bit, you're giving people space. And so they were knocking down shots. And it was mainly Fair, who's a star and who was doing that. But like if you cut down on one of those, there was also a point where they defended really well and Syracuse missed a basket and they didn't grab the rebound. And I believe that Fair got the step back 3-pointer at that moment. Had they done that, they're still up because Helena put them up and they're still in the game. So all of those things. And then there were about 3 fouls that I counted that weren't fouls. So, but if you do those other things, then that doesn't matter. There was a foul called on Brea, which was, I was sitting in the second half right by the Syracuse basket. And I saw Brea and she was standing there. And somebody else got the rebound and they called a foul on Brea. And it was like a phantom foul. And then, of course, the one on Jada where she had a clean rebound and they called a foul on her. And she pointed up. I don't know if you guys remember this. She pointed up to the replay, to the board, because usually there's a replay. But at Storrs, Connecticut, they chose not to put replays up, except maybe if somebody hit a 3-pointer. So it was the most bizarre thing. We had no replays. Even then the last one, which we're going to talk about, which everybody knows, there was not only no replay for us, but on TV, you guys didn't have a replay. It was the phantom charge on Skylar Jones. And the interesting thing about that is I know that I've got this going on and I can't see well far, that's my problem. But I was like in line, like I looked right down the line and I saw Sky make a move and score. And it looked like she got fouled. And I was like, wow, look at what they did. Like she's going to go to the free throw line, possibly put them back up by 1. Right. And then all of a sudden they waved it off and said it was a charge. And I'm like, she didn't even touch that girl. She moved away from her. And it was strange. And they, even afterwards, one of the announcers came up to us and said, like, they didn't show it. So she didn't even see the replay because ESPN didn't show it. So I have no idea what was going on there.
I think I was watching the game at that point. I think that Skylar Jones in Arizona got hosed on that play.
Yes.
She is a left-handed player. Okay. Yeah. So she's going to her natural side. She did not barrel into the defender at all. She kind of like sideswiped her at the most. The referee was behind the play and saw the Syracuse player fall down and just assumed that it was a charge. And that would have tied, if they had given her the bucket, that would have tied the game at 68. Yep. She would have gone to the line, maybe given Arizona the lead 69-68. Instead, Syracuse gets the ball. Fair hits another jumper to make it 70-66 with 45 seconds left, and that's pretty much the ball game. I know Adia Barnes always says it doesn't come down to one play. It's all the plays that preceded it and all that business. But, man, that one play, to me, like that was the turning point or the play.
Right, because they were in it. And even if she would have missed that, she was making her free throws, by the way, at that point.
She had a great game. She had a
So she probably would have made it. But even if she had missed it, it's a tie game, and then anything can happen. And then, you know, they extended it by fouling, and Fair hit, I think, was it four free throws? I was right in my buzzer story. But that's like what happened at that point, and that wouldn't have happened. You would have played straight up, and maybe they would have actually defended strong in that point, because 45 seconds, you know, about 45, 50 seconds, I think Fair hit the jumper at 45 seconds. So it was a little bit more. I think you defend in the last minute tight. I think you everything else goes out the window, I think, at that point. Pretty much, you know. So I think they could have won it earlier. I mean, I think if they would have cut one of those things, they would have been right there. But the fact that that was like basically a tie game, and then that's game. That was game. She hit that jumper. It was over. And that was really a shame, because I was talking to Lev earlier, and I said, my brother said, who never says this, he's always really tough on everybody when he watches sports, and he said Arizona was the better team, Fair was the star. She did that, but they were Arizona was the better team. They dominated most of that game. They came out strong. I don't know if you guys remember, but when they started and about the quarter and a half or something, they had played really good against Auburn, but all of a sudden they went from like here to there, and you're like, oh my God, like they were playing, like they could have played anybody in the country and played them tight. Like even more than the SC games, they were playing even at such a high level. I was like, they're going to win this game. Like you just felt it. Right. And I was like, and if they play like this, what are they going to look like against UConn? And you start thinking about all that, because the way they were playing was like incredible. Like we hadn't seen them play quite like that all season long. To me, I was already writing my story in my head. I was like, this is textbook what Adia Barnes wants, right? It's textbook. She wants them to pass. They were passing. They were finding the great shot instead of the good shot. They were trapping on defense and narrowing the passing lanes and doing all those things, not giving space. And you know, in that first half, the first quarter, Fair only had 3 points. Second quarter, she had 8. It was like they're doing everything right.
Yeah.
And then that happened.
Yeah, they had a lot of turnovers in that game. That was you mentioned how they had that sequence with several turnovers in a row. They finished with 21 as a team. And again, like the foul trouble, the lack of bench, those have been kind of, you know, consistent themes throughout the season. And really the main reason that, you know, they had to get into the, you know, they played a first four game. They were only an 11 seed. Yeah. It's because of those roster issues that happened for a variety of reasons. So when you assess for either one, like when you for either you, PJ or Justin, when you assess like the overall accomplishments of this team, I mean, I think they did about as well as one could have expected, given how shorthanded they were.
I think they PJ, did better.
I'm going to be honest with you, PJ. I did not think at the start of the year that they were going to make the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Yeah. See,
I saw like looking at their exhibition games and how they got off to that start, I'm like, oof.
Yeah, they got housed by UNLV, right?
Yeah.
In the season.
It wasn't. And my thing was, look at January. When they started losing those games in the beginning by like a couple points, and then they couldn't, and then like they lose to Oregon. like Oregon, right? Like, I know they were tough, but they were the last team in the, they should have beat them. That should have been an easy game for them. I was like, what's going to happen? In fact, it's kind of funny because I had planned on doing a few other stories in February because I figured, because it looked like they weren't going to turn it around, right? Nobody knew. And so I was like, oh, what kind of like, you know, like what kind of features can I do that would like be a nice advance to another game instead of like, because you're almost at the point where, what are we writing about? I mean, you know what you're writing about, and I don't mean to sound mean, but you start thinking about other types of things to do. And right. then all of a sudden, they start going on a roll, right? I think that they at one point I wrote that they were like playing above, like out punching their weight or playing above their weight. There was something about that that was pretty incredible. Like they should not, when you look at that team, except for the last month, really, and how they turned around, they should not have been in the NCAA tournament. They should not have won that first game and had a chance at winning the second game and playing UConn on Monday night. They had no business being there, right? So to me, it's a successful season. And I will go even as far as saying this. It's one of Adia Barnes's best coaching performances in her career. And also, it may be the best coaching performance in the nation this year. And I know that's tough to say when you have Dawn Staley going undefeated, Tara Vanderveer getting her record, and other coaches who have done a really good job. But when you have a team that's picked to be like bottom of the barrel, three injuries, two players leave in the middle of the season, including your leading scorer, and somehow you make it to the NCAA tournament, you upset Stanford and you almost beat USC twice. Like, are you kidding me? Like, who else could do that? Like, that's got to count for something, right?
I don't know, PJ. I don't know. I think Kim Mulkey, coaching the LSU Tigers, the big bad Washington Post going after. Oh. I think that's a better coaching job. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm guilty, and I'm just going to, before the story comes out, and I don't know what the story is, I'm going to say I'm going to sue you, right? Because yeah. I want to get everybody to read the story, right?
That's great publicity for the Washington Post, thanks to Kim Mulkey.
A lot of hits
When you look at the roster moving forward, obviously you lose Esmeri Martinez, you lose Helena Pueyo, probably going to lose Isis Bay. Seems like she was had kind of one foot out the door there. But they have these four freshmen, including Montea Dew, who didn't play this past season, but she was the highest ranked of all of them, I believe, coming out. Skylar Jones, kind of a revelation, honestly. Like, no one really knew who she was. She was terrific down the stretch. Great, like, length, athleticism, lefty slasher. Seems like she'll develop into a good defender. They've added some Euros to the mix coming into the next recruiting class. You're going to get a couple people back. You know, Sally Karuma is going to come back, I think, right?
Yeah.
She's got another year. How do you, like, spinning it forward a little bit, do you like the foundation, assuming that everyone sticks around, which has obviously been an issue?
Yeah. I think most of the freshmen will stick around, if not all of them. Obviously, Montea didn't play, so she's going to come back. She's here. Sounds like Jada. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, they were on the last radio show with Adia Barnes, and they all said they were staying. And it wasn't just like, yeah, we're staying. The four freshmen were up there, and they were like whispering to each other and doing all this stuff, and you could tell they were really tight. Like, so it seems like, again, anything in this world can happen now in college sports, but it seems like they'll come back. And that's your foundation, right? And also the three who played this year and the minutes they played, and like, and you talked about Skylar and we can talk about Jada, but the minutes they played and how they developed, they're going to walk in as sophomores, including the, you know, after doing the summer training. And they're going to be more than sophomores, right? They're going to probably be close to being juniors because they did all that and they played in the NCAA tournament. Like, what great experience for them. So you have these four, and Montea is just going to walk in, I think, and, you know, she's got a really high basketball IQ, and I think she's going to just step in and just fit with the group. I think that that's your foundation. And I think if they all stay, you're looking at a team that can take deep runs for the next couple of years. If you're able to get those good pieces, right, from the portal, I think that the Euros, from what I'm understanding, are more on the line of like the Helena Poyos, right, where they have really great fundamentals. And then they can be developed. Sometimes you get kids over from overseas and they just don't work. I don't know. They just think that they can walk in and not do the work like everybody else does. And then they don't turn out, right? So sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. I think these, it sounds like, we don't know what's going to happen, but it sounds like these are the kind of kids like you'd want to be in your program. And then Lauren Swan is she's sort of a underrated kid. She was injured, so she didn't get like a bad injury for at least a year. And so she didn't get ranked. And then she came on and had a good senior season and got ranked, is going to get either just got ranked or going to get ranked, but it's not really like a top ranking. Right. So she's kind of like this diamond in the rough. And I think that's going to be really good for them. And then whoever they get in the portal. The other thing we do have to mention, I always feel like I have to mention, is that other schools are giving kids an NIL, especially transfers. Well, recruits too. And at the moment, we all know that Arizona doesn't have money for women's sports. They don't have a women's collective at the moment, and they're not helping women in this area. And that's really going to be hard for Adia Barnes and others going forward. You can look at the softball team, the same thing. I know that there was a pitcher, really top pitcher they were going after, who looked like she was going to sign. She went to a Florida school. They handed her some money and that's where she went. So that stuff is happening every day and it's hitting women's sports really hard. And especially at Arizona, where there's no, like I said, there's no collective. There are no big boosters stepping up to help out. And until they do, it's really going to be hard for these teams to compete on the level that they've been competing at. So This is something that the new athletic director, this is like one of the top things on her plate besides the financial crisis, right? This, sure. She's got to figure out how to deal with NIL for women's sports, or you're not going to have really great sports teams anymore, women's sports teams at the University of Arizona. It's going to be the haves and the have-nots, and Arizona is going to just be the have-nots.
Yeah, I know that baseball had similar issues in the portal, trying to get guys and thinking they were close to getting some dudes, and then they ended up going elsewhere for those same reasons. I do know, people have asked me about this, there's a plan in the works regarding NIL and baseball. I can't really talk about a lot of the details because it's just a subject that people can't like talk about on the record, but they're yeah. trying, and they have a very firm and specific plan about how to deal with it, but it makes it tough.
Yeah.
It makes it tough. And you know, there, people are going to give money for football and they're going to give money for men's basketball. And oftentimes there's not a lot left over.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's difficult. So, but if Adia Barnes is able to get money, I mean, I think this was a really good showing also. I mean, if you were watching these games, and you're a transfer or thinking about going into the transfer portal and you're hearing their story, right? And you see how they play, and they, you see how they are so together and play like a team and care about each other and all of that. If you're that type of kid, this, I would think that that would say to you, like, maybe that's school I want to go to.
Yeah.
And so I think that whenever you can, first of all, whenever you can play in the NCAA tournament, it's good. And when you're a team that has a fun style of play, which Arizona does, right? I know it's defense and some people don't like defense, but there are times when they get those transition buckets, and that's what people like, right? They like that fast. You get a fast break. They like that kind of stuff. And I think it shows well. And these, both of these games were really good. I mean, this Syracuse game, even though Arizona lost, I mean, Coach Jack after the game for Syracuse said, you know, if you didn't watch this game, like, what are you doing? Cause this is, you know, this was a tremendous game. It's great. You know, women's basketball is a good, is definitely a good sport, and it's having a big moment right now and all of this stuff. So that just all helps, I think, when you're recruiting, because right, transfer portal is recruiting just like out of high school. And so and I do know that, you know, as a coach, you're recruiting all the time. So right now there are, as of, well, today's Sunday, right? As of Tuesday, I think there were 500 kids in the portal for women's basketball because the window opened up on Monday. So they're watching this. Coaches are recruiting right now. They're talking to kids in the portal. I have no doubt that Adia Barnes is, like, before and after her games, was talking to people. So it's all happening right now.
Should be a busy off season for the Arizona women's basketball team, Arizona men's basketball team. They're still alive in the NCAA tournament. They got the Sweet 16 game coming up against the Clemson Tigers on Thursday at 4:00. My colleague, Bruce Pasco, our colleague, Bruce Pasco, will be in Los Angeles for those games. Let's see if Arizona can get to the Elite Eight and face either Alabama or North Carolina. And PJ, please get better. And to reference the movie The Waterboy, which is one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies, I hope they find that gorilla that escaped the zoo and punched in the eye. But I think the switch continues. but seriously, PJ, job well done on a great season covering the Cats. And get better, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. Check us out on Tucson.com, the Wildcaster mobile app, and also the Wildcast podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for watching and listening.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.